Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio, and I trust everybody's doing well. I really hope you're having a fantastic week. Everybody survived the eclipse out there, did you? Did you make it out okay? I know it was scary. It was scary leading up to it. I mean, just all the panic, literally. All the panic leading up to this eclipse was something to behold. But the eclipse itself was a good time, actually. It was a good time. We had glasses here. So where we are in Michigan, we caught about 97%. We were in that 97, 98% section. And it was pretty sweet. I'm not going to lie. It was pretty cool. Putting the glasses on, we had all the kids came out on the lawn. Just made a little afternoon party of it. I think it was a fun experience, especially for the littles and for the middle school and high school students as well. Everybody enjoyed themselves. I'm just happy that we all made it out alive. I mean, leading up to it, you thought it was the end. We're doomed, I tell you. No, it was good. So I trust that it was well for all of you. I just hope you're having a good week. This is a good week. There is good news afoot, my friends. And you want to know why? It's because the eyes of Americans are opening up. Boy, I feel like I'm a broken record here on this. I do, but it's happening. It's happening slowly but surely. And it's going to continually be a fight, without a doubt. Without a doubt, it's going to be a fight because there are nefarious forces at work that would love to take down the country. That would love it. Oh, Dean, you sound like such a conspiracy theorist. I know, but conspiracy theories are true. If we've learned anything from the past 4 years, we've learned that conspiracy theories are true. They're not just theories. It's not just people running around wearing hats made of tinfoil, whack jobs, as they would have been called back in the day. No, it's happening. It is. Our eyes are open to things. I'll just put it to you that way. Our eyes are open. Have you ever heard of the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics? It is not as big as the NCAA, but nonetheless, it is a governing body for college athletics. And it recently announced in a unanimous vote on April 8th, a unanimous vote of 20-0, the Council of Presidents of the NAIA approved a ban on men playing in women's athletics. 20-0. There was not a dissenting vote. If this is not a demonstration and or declaration of eyes being opened, I don't know what is. 20-0? These are numbers akin to, so yesterday we were talking about this survey that Pew Research put out, this parental survey. And Pew came to the conclusion that only 16% of the country thinks that public K-12 is going in the right direction. Only 16%. 51% are pretty sure it's going in the wrong direction. And then you've got about a third, 33% that are like, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. So you have a third of the country that's not quite awake yet. But when you have numbers that are 51% of the country are like, absolutely no way, we are going in the wrong direction, and only 16% that says, yeah, this is great, those numbers are akin to this 20-0 shutout here, 20-0. So I think we can conclude that members of the Council of Presidents of the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics are not part of the 16% that believe public K-12 is hunky-dory, going in the right direction. Here is the announcement from the group. Only NAIA student athletes whose biological sex is female may participate in NAIA-sponsored female sports. Boom. We're just going to knock this one out of the park here. 20-0. Also, in order for female athletes to be allowed to participate in these sponsored women's competitions, they may not have begun any masculinizing hormone therapy. You just got to be, you got to be woman through and through. You just have to be a woman. None of this. I want to become a man, so I'm in the process business. Just become a woman. Just be a woman. Just be who you are. Be a woman and play in female athletics. Okay. If you're some dude and you're trying to, not have hormones, not have testosterone, I'm sorry, but you're not playing with the females. They did acknowledge that men's competitions are open to athletes of both sexes. Competitive cheer, competitive dance, you know, that's a thing. And because some women are super athletically gifted and they can compete with the men and they can hang with the men. And they're okay, if you guys want to come here and beat up the big boys, go right ahead. You know, so in some certain sports, it's allowed. But none of this business of men going to play with the women. I mean, they really probably just want to hang out in the woman's locker, really, ultimately. That's what it boils down to. Riley Gaines posted on X, acknowledging that the NAIA has become the first national college governing body to mandate athletes compete within their sex in an overwhelming vote. So this is a big deal. This is absolutely a big deal. Did you know that Riley Gaines is a part of a group, 16 female athletes, who recently filed a lawsuit against the NCAA, which is the National Collegiate Athletic Association? So you have the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics having this 20-0 vote, but then you have the National Collegiate Athletic Association, the NCAA. These guys are a bunch of, yeah, you know what they are. You know what they, I don't even need to say it. I could stop right there at the blank and you can fill it in. So Riley Gaines and this group filed a lawsuit back in the middle of March at U.S. District Court in Atlanta, alleging that the NCAA has violated Title IX. Now, I know you know about Title IX, federal civil rights law that banned discrimination on sex. And these people are all about, yeah, this is Title IX because you can't ban discrimination on sex. You're banning discrimination against this man because he wants to play with the woman. He wants to be on the female team. No, you can't go against Title IX. And Riley Gaines and this group, they've come out and they're suing the NCAA. And they're saying, you guys are the ones violating Title IX by allowing the men to play with the women. You're the ones doing the violating. This is fantastic. This thing's going to, it's coming to blows. Riley Gaines and the others alleged in their complaint that the NCAA imposed a radical anti-woman agenda on college sports. I would agree with that. I think that it's a radical anti-woman agenda. Just drive the ladies out. You're going to let what's-his-name swim and compete against the women, and that's all it is. It's a radical anti-woman agenda when this dude's arms are like, you know, his wingspan 6 foot across. Of course he's going to, I mean, but some of the women beat him. Love that, but he shouldn't be allowed. He needs to play with the men. Riley Gaines, so the complaint continues. It's a radical anti-woman agenda, reinterpreting Title IX to define women as a testosterone level and permitting men to compete on women's teams. I love that. All you're doing is defining women as a testosterone level. Remember Matt Walsh's video or his documentary, What is a Woman? What is a woman? People didn't want to, I don't know what a woman is. I'm not going to answer that. Well, it's just a testosterone level. That's all. That's what Gaines is filing in this, or is alleging in this complaint against the NCAA. Of course, the Biden administration proposes amending Title IX to prohibit barring men dressed up like women from participating on teams and events that are consistent with their gender identity rather than their biological sex. Oh, you can't do that. That's what Biden is saying. Biden's coming along and he's saying, we're going to, no, we got to oppose this. We need more men playing on the women's teams. The proposed regulation would allow for some exclusions, you know, whatever. It's stupid. I'm not even going to get into it. They don't want the exclusions. That's just throwing people on the fence a bone. That's all it is. This thing needs to be beat back. It needs to be beat back. And where it stands, it just needs to be destroyed. In February, Biden transmitted the final proposal to the Title IX rule change to the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. And then these jokers have until June 1st to make a decision, review the draft, send it back to the Department of Education for final review and publication. This is why right here, the Department of Education, in my humble opinion, needs to just be banned. I mean, who are they? Who are these bureaucrats in Washington that should decide if men should be allowed to play on women's sports teams and hang out with the girls in the locker rooms? And they're all Democrats in this department. The education should be at a local level. It should be at a local level, and it should be decided locally. There doesn't need to be, excuse me, there doesn't need to be some Department of Education in a building somewhere in Washington telling schools in the heartland what they can and can't do with their bathrooms and locker rooms. Oh, this is, all right, NAIA President Jim Carr told CBS Sports that he believes the organization's decision to bar female-identifying male athletes from sports competitions, he believes this aligns with the original intent of Title IX. And he's nailing it. He's absolutely correct. It's about time we have some people in charge of some things that have some common sense. Thank you. Thank you, Jim Carr, NAIA president. He said, for us, we believe our first responsibility was to create fairness and competition in the NAIA. We also think it aligns with the reasons Title IX was created. You're allowed to have separate but equal opportunities for women to compete. That was the whole point of Title IX. You should be allowed to have. Yes, women need equal opportunities to play in athletic events. And then you're going to water those opportunities down by interjecting men because the men feel like women? Oh, nuh-uh. Congratulations, Mr. Carr, NAIA president. Congratulations for standing up with a backbone. It's about time we had some people in charge of some things standing up with a backbone. Now, I shouldn't say it's about time because it's happening. There are people in charge that are standing up with a backbone. Recently, I talked about this case in Nassau County in New York, where the county announced a ban on males who want to be women competing at county-run facilities. And any league that doesn't correspond to their biological sex or isn't a co-ed mixed league, this county did. The county came in. The county said, no, uh-uh. What's the fella's name? The county executive. Oh, yeah, Bruce Brakeman. Here it is. Here's what Bruce said. There is a movement for biological males to bully their way into competing in sports or leagues or teams that identify themselves or advertise themselves as girls or female or women's teams or leagues. And this guy's fantastic. We find that unacceptable, he said, adding that female identifying males pushing to compete in women's sports is a form of bullying. And then you've got this attorney general, Letitia, whatever, I don't know what her name is. And she comes down on him, on Brakeman. You're breaking the law. You better change your ways, bucko. You can't do this. And this guy is just standing up. He is standing up. So I should not be saying it's about time, because it's happening. It's happening. People in leadership positions are displaying actual backbones, actual spines. And they're like, no, we're not doing this. We're not going to play this game of stupidity any longer. This article here is, if you're interested, I think it's from Epic Times. It's called College Athletics Bans Transgender Athletes from Women's Sports. And it's a good article. It's decent. We're happy to hear about it. Keep it up. Keep it up, kids. You people in charge in various places of various organizations, continue to demonstrate that you have a spine. Do it. Show off those amazing spines. There is pushback. It's happening. This movement, while it's, this transgender movement has surged, there's pushback, and the tide on tolerance for transgender ideology in America is turning. The article says the marketing partnership between Bud Light and Dylan Mulvaney sparked a wave of conservative boycott, calling or driving the brand into a sales slump from which it has yet to recover. Those words are just, I don't ever really want to see a company tank. People are losing jobs over it, and it's sad to see. But at the same time, it's not sad to see. At the same time, it's really, really good to see, because you have this line being drawn in the sand of Americans saying, we're done. We're done. Don't put this man on your beer can who was pretending to be a woman. He looks ridiculous. He's not a woman. He's a man. And then your company looks ridiculous for flaunting him out there. Yeah, him. I said him. He's a man. The dude is a man. And he runs around looking like a woman. A woman. He's got other issues. He's got other problems. And those issues and problems need to be dealt with at the heart level. He needs some counseling. Dean, it's the truth. The man needs some counseling. All right. Congratulations here to the NAIA, the National Association for Intercollegiate Athletics, for standing up with a backbone. We love it. All right. We'll pick up more on the other side. We're up against the break. You're listening to The Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity, unlike other supplements that don't work. Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order, risk-free. Love it or your money back, guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code out loud.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio, and you're happy about it, lest you would not be here. Congratulations on being one of the smart ones and finding your way to AmericaOutloud.news. It is where smart people go to get their news and information. So congratulations on being one of the smart ones. All right. We talked the other day about the detrimental effects of 1913. We discussed the 16th Amendment, the 17th Amendment, and we were talking about it because it was the anniversary of the ratification of the 17th Amendment. And I did go into a little bit of detail on how despicable, how destructive the 16th Amendment and 17th Amendment were to constitutionalism. And those two amendments doubled up hand in hand, a 1-2 punch, began the tearing down of federalism, ultimately, and building up more of a national government. And I read a little bit of Woodrow Wilson's inaugural address, which was March 4th, 1913. And he gives some clouded and cloaked verbiage of government controlling things, of government being a big brother and government. It was necessary, I'm paraphrasing, but in his words, it's necessary that government come along, Americans. And this whole idea of rugged individualism, well, Americans can't take care of themselves. They need a government to look out after them, a government to look out after their health, look out after their money, just a government to come in and make sure that they're safe. And now we have this behemoth of a government with all of these departments with their hands in everything, including a Department of Education, which they have the authority to decide if men should be allowed to hang out in the girls' bathrooms. That is, it's government overreach. We've hit this place. Well, we hit it a long time ago. But the more we hit it, the more eyes are being opened to it. The other day, Biden proposed universal preschool. He proposed national family paid leave. He proposed other care initiatives. He said, pay your fair share. That was his message. Pay your fair share. Imagine, he said, what we can do if you pay your fair share. Imagine a future with affordable child care, home care, elder care, paid leave, and just let's pile it on. If you pay your fair share, imagine a future where we can have everything for free, but you have to pay your fair share for it. This is what Woodrow Wilson was driving at. This is what Woodrow introduced in 1913. And here we are over 100 years later, and we're just piling on, we're piling on, we're piling on. Let's forgive billions and billions of student loans. Let's let the taxpayers cover that. Although 7 more states are suing to block his most generous ever student loan program. The RNC chair, Michael Whately, said Biden wants to use your tax dollars to buy votes because more and more young people are supporting President Trump. And so he realizes this. Hey, if I start throwing out all these freebies, all these gimmies, I mean, I'm going to get some votes here. This is going to happen. I need the votes. I need them. I'm getting my hiney kicked. So let's just start giving things away. Let's start bringing people to the open arms of the government. And this has been happening. But the eyes of the country are awake. And it just doesn't happen at the national level. It happens at the state level as well. These state governors determine that they have this power to do all this stuff, even if it means breaking the law. Well, the governor here in Michigan is encouraging Michiganders to house illegal aliens, and she'll pay them $500 if they'll do it. Okay, the aliens are illegal. The word illegal would refer to breaking the law. They're here, but you know what? We can't really help it. Yes, they're breaking the law, but there's nothing we can do about it here. Let them live with you, and we'll pay you $500. We're going to now pay you to be complicit in these people breaking the law. This is illegal. It's from top to bottom. It's illegal. We have governors that believe they are above the law, because we have a president who believes he's above the law. However, in some instances, these governors, they think that they have this authority given to them. There's this governor in Wisconsin, Evers. You know, we are not big fans of Evers. We talked about it recently, where he vetoed this bill in Wisconsin, where the state and house said, we don't want males playing on the female teams. And he vetoed it because he said, you're discriminating. You're discriminating against the men. Of course, we just talked about in the last segment that Riley Gaines and company have a lawsuit against the NCAA, and their complaint is that you guys are the ones discriminating against the women. You are refashioning Title IX. You're destroying it. You're ripping it apart. And we would say the same about Tony Evers. However, in Tony Evers' desire to be a good Democrat, progressive, Marxist governor, He's actually done something that I like. Now, he thinks that it's good for the left. It's actually very good for America. Tony Evers came along, and a couple of days ago, he signed what he refers to as bipartisan legislation in the state of Wisconsin that will require, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this Asian name right, it's spelled H-M-O-N-G. I'm going to say Hmong. I don't know. I could be wrong. But this legislation requires Hmong and Asian American histories to be taught in K-12 schools. This is groundbreaking. Because do you know what this actually instructs teachers to teach? If they're going to teach Hmong and Asian American histories, then they have to teach communism. They're going to have to. There's no way around it. You cannot teach Asian American history without teaching communism, because many Asian Americans are here because they fled it. They fled communism. Does this guy even know what he's doing? Does he realize what he has just stepped into? Mr. Evers' office stated that the bill ensures that Hmong and Asian American histories are preserved for generations to come, recognizing the contributions these communities have made to the state. This is brilliant. Yes, preserved for generations to come, which means generations to come, by law, are going to have to learn about communism. Wisconsin has the third largest Hmong population in the United States, according to the Hmong American Center. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Around 50,000 Hmong Americans are living in many communities across the state. Mr. Evers stated in a press release, the Hmong and Asian American communities are a critical part of our state's history, culture, economy, and future. It's important that we celebrate our shared histories and honor the people who helped make Wisconsin the state it is today. This is fantastic. I never thought in a million years I would get behind this microphone and love some legislation that Tony Evers has signed into law. Now, he probably has different rationale for it. Matter of fact, I'm sure he does. He's a Marxist leftist. He thinks that he is dividing, probably, in my opinion. I think he's probably further dividing communities by focusing just on one. We need to teach their history. And then this community over here, we need to teach their history. And it's not an American history that's being taught. It's the history of this particular group. In this case, though, it's a good thing, because the history of this particular group is rooted in communism. It is. It's look at the Asian nations of the world. And when you talk about history of the Asian nations, at least over the past 100 years, you have to talk about the communistic invasion that took place in Asia, and that the millions of Asians that fled their homeland to come to America because they were being forced out by communist dictators. That has got to be part of the history. It's going to have to be. There's no way around it. Now, they're going to find a way around it. The Democrats in Wisconsin, once they realize what they've done, they're going to not include this as part of it. I'm sure of it. But this opens up the door. You public history teachers in Wisconsin, you that are still on the good side of the force here, this opens up the door for you to teach the true, undaunted history of communism, the facts. You now have a mandate to teach the facts of the disparity that is this form of government or this economic system. I mean, it's both. And it is despicable. And it's making an attempt to be infiltrated into the greatest country on the planet via the education system. You know it, you see it. We've cataloged it. We continue to document it. Current Wisconsin law requires K-12 schools to teach Black, Hispanic, and Native American histories. The new law adds Hmong and Asian American histories to this required curriculum. See, the law actually should be to teach American history, to talk about American history, not to divide the various cultures, but to speak about the various cultures within American history, because we are all Americans. But the left is not interested in everybody being Americans. They are interested in building walls and creating division. Therefore, they have the ability to pit one group against the other. That's the Marxist playbook. It's probably right out of chapter one. I don't know what their chapters are designated as. You get my point. This is what they want to do. And this is why it's set up this way in Wisconsin. This is why it's Wisconsin law. It's why it's set up this way in several places. It's why we have a Black History Month. It's because the people in charge want to divide us. Black history should be every month because it should be part of American history. Every single month, there are some amazing individuals who are Asian, who are Hispanic, who are Black, who are white, that all played a role in the history of America. Well, I heard someone say the other day that the Revolutionary War started because of the death of a Black man, Crispus, at the Boston Massacre. That was the first casualty, was a Black man. And that kind of got the whole thing going. I mean, that there were other things that were happening, but that was instrumental. And he was the first casualty. And there are important people, no matter what their race, what their nationality, there are very important people that were instrumental in this country. And the history of the country needs to be taught. And not just the history of a particular group. Include those groups in the history of the country, but let's not create divisions. But this is what the left does. But in this case, it's going to backfire on them. Because now the history of communism, you have no other choice. You've got to teach the history of communism. Oh, man, I just love this. The goal is to promote greater awareness and understanding of Hmong and Asian American histories, cultures, and traditions in Wisconsin. If that's the goal, then you've got to talk about communism. Evers continued, I've been proud to sign several key pieces of bipartisan legislation into law to recognize the contributions Hmong and Asian American folks have made to our state and our country. And this bill builds upon those efforts, ensuring the histories and stories of Hmong and Asian American communities are part of state curriculum for future generations. Oh, man, this is fantastic. The Wisconsin governor also signed legislation last month that will allow Hmong veterans to have veteran status on their driver's license or IDs. Persecuted as an ethnic minority in their ancestral lands in China, the Hmong settled first to the mountains of Cambodia, Laos, and Vietnam. Their tens of thousands fought for the United States in the Vietnam War. When communist regimes swept the region, they escaped to refugee camps in neighboring Thailand and, starting in the mid-1970s, resettled largely in California farm country, Minneapolis, and central Wisconsin. Yeah, they came here because of communism. Oh, this is so fantastic. Does this get any better? The Hmong American Center stated that there are roughly 230,000 Hmong people residing in the United States, with the largest populations in California, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. 70,000 people that they are projecting that live in Wisconsin. This is so fantastic. Oh, wait, it gets even better. In July 2021, the article says Illinois became the first state in the nation to sign a bill requiring a unit of Asian American history to be taught in public schools amid a surge of anti-Asian violence, which was happening during COVID-19. So you got J.B. Pritzker over here, and he's doing the same thing. They don't even know what they're doing. I don't think they realize it. I don't think they understand the ramifications that these individuals fled their countries to come to America. And now you have these two Democrat governors demanding that we teach their history. Well, okay, we're going to do it. This is history that we want to teach because we want young Americans to realize, to understand, to come to the factual conclusion that communism is pathetic. It's horrible. It's despicable. It's life-threatening. It is a life-threatening disease and plague upon the planet. And we would all be better off if it were removed. Ah, this is fantastic. All right. Thank you, Tony Evers. Didn't ever think I'd be saying that to you and J.B. Pritzker. But job well done, fellas. Job well done. All right. We're up against it. We'll pause here for another break. You're listening to The Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutLoud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Clean, pure, with premium ingredients. Global Healing's Pure Plant Protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop, and it's a perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with Pure Plant Protein. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop and get 15% off using the code Out Loud. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Welcome back to The Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You're listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. And my question to you is, are you enjoying your Heal Right metabolic health bars? Are you? If you're eating them, tell me how are you enjoying them? I love them. I think they taste fantastic. So I was taking the spike support this morning, and I'm downing it with some green tea. And I'm just thinking to myself, the products that are available here at America Out Loud are in support of our health. They're in support of our longevity. They're products that are really designed to make us better, to make us healthier, to make us stronger. And I just start mentally going through the list. I want any residual spike protein in my system gone. And if the spike support's going to help get rid of it, I'm taking it. I don't want that leftover garbage. I know what it did to me. I know what it did to my heart rate. I was there. I felt that thing go through the roof. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want anything to do with it. So my long-term health, I depend on some of this stuff. And the metabolic health bar, it's part of my long-term regimen. I want optimal gut health. There's just things that food as medicine provides, and I want to be a part of it. So I hope you're enjoying your metabolic health bars, if you're eating them. I hope that you have found a flavor that you like. AmericaOutloud.shop, or click the banner at AmericaOutloud.news, 20% off of those products when you use coupon code OUTLOUD. Can't beat it. You cannot beat it. All right, let's go to Seattle. Can we go to Seattle? Let's leave Wisconsin for a minute. Let's go to Seattle, because if you live in Seattle and your child goes to the Seattle Public Schools, well, I just got to ask you, why? Why are they still there? Why, for the love of Pete, do you still have your child in the Seattle Public Schools? I'm looking at an article here. The headline is, Seattle Public Schools District, the public school district in Seattle. It would be, yeah, it's the Seattle district. They're ending their gifted student program due to historical inequity. Yeah, we got to get rid of it. We got to get rid of our gifted program, because that they're just historically, there's not enough equity. There's only inequity. Nothing's equitable. Nothing at all. Seattle Public Schools is shutting down its program for gifted and talented students as part of efforts to address historical inequity. It will replace the program with one that is more inclusive, equitable, and culturally sensitive, because that's what we need. We need cultural sensitivity. We need more inclusivity. We need more equity. It's a bunch of garbage. The district began phasing out the program known as the Highly Capable Cohort in the 21-22 school year, after a 2018 survey found that just 3.7% of students participating were Hispanic and only 1.6% were Black. There is historical inequity here. We do not have enough racial diversity in this program. That must mean this program is racist. Miss Hansen, who is the Carrie Hansen, she is the district's director of student support services. She said the program is rife with racial inequities. Miss Hansen told ParentMap in 2018 that the district was failing to identify our children of color and needed to do more to understand why. Why? Why isn't there enough children of color in these gifted programs? As a result of those concerns, the previous model will be phased out fully by the 24-25 school year. So, okay, we're in 23-24. So next year, that's it. It's over. By 24-25, by 24-25. So I guess at the end of this year, the gifted program in the Seattle Public Schools is done. So if you have a student in that gifted program, if you have a smarticle, you have a brainiac of a child, and they're in the gifted program, you should be concerned. You really should. It doesn't matter what color your child is. Brown, Black, white, you should be concerned. Because in Seattle, they're doing away with it. Now, they're not telling you they're doing away with it. They're probably telling you that they're going to make it better, because it's going to be more equitable. It's going to be great. I doubt it. I just flat out doubt it. I doubt that it's going to be great. The article continues here. So it's going to be fully replaced, phased out by 24-25, and instead replaced with a new model. The new model, it will be known as the Highly Capable Neighborhood School Model. All right, so it used to be called Highly Capable Cohort. Now it's going to be called Highly Capable Neighborhood School Model. What's the difference? All right, what do you, you're pretty much keeping it the same name. You're taking out cohort and you're adding neighborhood school model. It will be available in every school according to a notice from the district. All right, so elementary schools, they've got three of them. They've got five middle schools. They've got three high schools. So they're gonna make this available. And it's gonna be great, according to Seattle. Seattle Public Schools, this is gonna be the best thing out there. Critics argue the move will result in an increased workload for teachers who will now be asked with or will now be tasked with creating individualized learning programs for large groups of students between 20 and 30 a pop, 20 and 30 students. All right, because you're expanding your gifted program, you now need individualized learning programs, essentially, for upwards of 30 kids. You think, all right, let's be real here for a second. Do you think that a teacher is going to be able to create individualized learning programs for 30 students? No. And do it well. And then teach those individualized learning programs for the 30s. No, not going to happen. No, it's not going to happen. I'm telling you right now, the gifted program in Seattle is going down the toilet. And this is why I'm telling you, if you have a child in Seattle Public Schools and they're in the gifted program, be concerned. Be very concerned. Begin searching for other options. That's my advice to you. Unsolicited as it may be, nonetheless, begin searching for other options. So this is also, according to the article, despite educators struggling with a lack of extra resources. In March, according to reports, in March, the district said it was facing a $104 million budget deficit. $104 million. Holy smokes. And the district needed to make some changes to balance the books. So those changes are going to be eliminating resources. Should those changes be eliminating administrative positions, maybe? I'm just wondering. The district said, right now, we're dealing with a $104 million budget shortfall. This happened because Washington State is facing an educational funding gap, and there are fewer students enrolled at Seattle Public Schools. Ah, there it is, friends. There it is. Now, fewer public students. So if fewer students are enrolled, guess what? The money doesn't come in. Now, this is why. So we talked yesterday about this survey that the Pew Research Group did. They were asking parents, how do you think K-12 public education is faring in America? 16% said it's fantastic. 51% said, it's not fantastic. But what is really important is 82% of the teachers said, no, the education in American public K-12 is despicable. That wasn't the language. Despicable wasn't the word. 82% said it's going in the wrong direction. Now, some of them felt like it was going in the wrong direction because there wasn't enough money to fund it. But that's not accurate because parents pulled their students out because education is going in the wrong direction. And when parents pulled their students out, the result of that is less funding. So public education isn't going into the toilet because there's not enough funding. That's a symptom. That's not a cause. The cause of public education going in the toilet is this stupidity that you have out here in Seattle, where they are now claiming their gifted program is racist because there's not enough Black and Hispanic students in it. Must be racist. the fact that there are Black and Hispanic students in it tells you it's not racist. If it were racist, there would be none. It would be 100% white. Do you not see this? How are you so blind to this fact? So the state is facing a budget shortfall to the tune of $104 million. There's a funding gap because fewer students are enrolled. And this, while I don't like to see it, I do, because it tells me that parents in Seattle have come to the conclusion that their eyes are open. They've come to the conclusion that they are awake. And being thus so, they're going to find a different educational environment for their students. This is beautiful, my friends. This is very good news that people are awake. So the district now says, we also no longer have some funds we received in the past. No, you don't. You don't have those funds because your enrollment is decreasing. And therefore, on headcount day, and the day you get all the money and you want to get all the students in there and you even want to count the homeschool students, you can get more money. On those days, the headcount just isn't there. Dadgummit, it's just not there. Elsewhere, many parents have raised concerns that the new model will leave more advanced students overlooked, with some telling the Seattle Times they fear it could lead to a slowdown in their children's academic progress. You better believe that's what's going to happen. Yeah, the kids that are currently gifted, that are in the gifted program, they're the ones who are going to suffer. The white, the Black, and the Hispanic children that are in the gifted program are going to suffer. Because the gifted program, like everything else in Seattle Public Schools, is going down the toilet. Because you have people in charge that are making decisions based on idiocy, based on stupidity. I don't know how else to describe it. They should be incorporating. If I were in charge of the Seattle Public Schools, I would begin incorporating immediately a classical education. I would get rid of the race baiting. I would get rid of the DEI garbage. And I would start teaching these kids classically, how they used to be taught. You give me a couple years and we would turn the Seattle Public Schools around and we would make Seattle Public Schools great again. All right. Just so much to cover, but we're out of time. That's all the time we have for today. America, thank you for joining me. It is important. Share this show. Share it. Let's get the word out. Encourage your friends and family to get on the Dean's List. Let's unite to renovate the age.